Okay, now we can start.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
If you build it, they will come. Joel, seen that movie? He's in the movie, Joe.
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
In our 670 The Score studios, Jordan Malley.
Shout out to Jordan Malley.
Did Matt Peck get a signed copy of that book?
No, Matt Peck, he didn't. No.
No.
I'll talk to D. Rose.
Yeah, you're going to make it happen.
And Matt, you will be getting your book soon.
Kick back and get ready for the best hour of your day.
Are players buying in, Jim?
Yes.
Fair enough.
And so all I was saying on this podcast, the Locked On Bulls podcast.
Locked On Bulls, 5 days a week.
Locked On Bulls starts now.
You can just see the vibe.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Matt Peck, also host of Bulls Outsiders on NBC Sports Chicago, following all 82 Bulls games this season. You can follow me on Twitter at Bulls_Peck. You can follow my co-host Jordan Malley at Jordan C. Malley. You can follow us at Locked On Bulls. You can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls. Shoot us an email, LockedOnBulls@gmail.com. And of course, our text to voicemail line, always there for you, our fellow Bulls fans. 331-979-1369 is that number. Happy Friday, Bulls Nation. Bulls have a pretty big game, if you want to call it that, in Brooklyn tonight, game two of their three-game road trip. Brooklyn currently occupying that eighth seed, the Bulls, three games back. We'll see if they can get a road win tonight to bounce back from that disappointing loss to the Pacers on Wednesday when the Bulls coughed up a late seven-point lead. But in the meantime, we have some All-Star weekend news to talk about. Not only did we learn on Thursday night the reserve selections for the All-Star teams for the All-Star weekend that's coming up here in Chicago just next weekend, we also have learned the World and U.S. Rising Stars team selections. And most of the news across the board is bad for Bulls fans. As I'm sure you have heard, Zach LaVine did not make one of those selections for a Eastern Conference Reserve All-Star guard. The East reserves are as follows. Our old pal Jimmy Buckets, Bam Adebayo, his teammate, Kyle Lowry, the Raptors, Ben Simmons of the Sixers, Chris Middleton of the Milwaukee Bucks, Jason Tatum of the Boston Celtics, and the Indiana Pacers' Domantas Sabonis. Meanwhile, for the West, Dame Lillard, Donovan Mitchell, Nikola Jokic, Rudy Gobert, Brandon Ingram, Russell Westbrook, and Chris Paul getting those nods. No Zach LaVine in the East. We knew it would be tough. We knew that Zach really had to put together some dominant performances in the month of January to really make a case for himself. As Jason Pat of the Cash Considerations podcast pointed out on Twitter, Zach had kind of dug himself a hole because he had a slow start to the season. Didn't start shooting all that well. Was not having, monster 30-plus point nights on the regular basis. And to his credit, he had some pretty gargantuan performances that maybe made it close. Certainly made it think that he had an outside shot of getting in there, but that the competition was stiff. As bad as the Eastern Conference is, that the competition would be stiff. And not only did Zach arguably get snubbed, but so did Bradley Beal of the Washington Wizards. But here's the thing. Both Zach LaVine and Bradley Beal, along with Devin Booker, who a lot of people believe to be a snub over in the Western Conference, what do they all have in common, y'all? They play for bad teams that don't play winning basketball, that don't win a lot of games. Another factor for Zach is that the Bulls only had one nationally televised game this season from start to the All-Star break. It's hard to make a name for yourself if you're not on the national stage like that, but it is a sign of the times. even for as big of a market as the Chicago Bulls are. They are one of the biggest cash cow teams of the NBA. And they had one nationally televised game. One. So, some of this, a lot of this, was out of Zach's control. And maybe there is still some narrative that remains among players and coaches in this league that Zach is a, you know, an empty calorie scorer, a one-way player. Yeah, he can score, but he doesn't do a whole lot else. He doesn't make his teammates better. Yada, yada, yada. But he's also on a team that's 19 and 31. Clearly, winning matters when the people of the league are casting their votes. We all knew that Zach had essentially zero chance at being voted in, thanks largely to the 50% voting from fans, which is why, even as bad as the Atlanta Hawks are, that Trae Young is an all-star starter in just his second season in the league. Fans, especially young fans engaging on social media who cast their votes, love watching Trae Young. And he's been putting up insane numbers so far this season. Yeah, he's been doing it on a bad team, but his numbers on a bad team are more impressive than Zach's. And they're more impressive than Bradley Beal's. So maybe, in some ways, Bulls fans should feel like Zach got snubbed. Because when you look at what he does compared to some of the other people who got these selections, and the Bulls Talk Twitter account rattled it off here as far as the East reserves who did get the All-Star nod. Jimmy Butler averages 20.2 points per game. Kyle Lowry, 19.8. Simmons, 16.3. Middleton, 20.2. Tatum, 21.5. Bam Adebayo, 16. Sabonis, 18. None of those come close to Levine's 25.1 points per game. And it's not all about scoring. Obviously, many of those players have a lot more to their game that makes them, in some people's eyes, all-star caliber players, whether that be their playmaking ability, their assist numbers, their presence as, you know, rebounders and rim protectors for those front court players who got their selections. But, I mean, it's kind of also crazy to think about the fact that Zach LaVine is averaging 25 points per game and could not get an all-star nod ahead of any of those guys. In particular, the backcourt players. But if you look at all of those names of the players from the Eastern Conference who got those reserve spots, what do they have in common? Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo, Kyle Lowry, Simmons, Middleton, Tatum. They play for winning basketball programs. Winning basketball. And as much as we all hoped that maybe some late push could put Zach over the top, and as much as we know that, you know, and I know that there are some of you out there that listen to this podcast that are not Zach LaVine believers and don't think he can be the best player on a good team. And I've gone on the record to say that in many ways I agree with you. I think Zach is a complimentary piece on a really good team, a playoff run team. He's certainly the reason the Bulls have the wins that they have so far this season, by and large. But they only have 19. The Bulls are 12 games under 500, nearing the All-Star break, and all of the players who got those reserve spots are on teams that are playoff bound. Winning matters. It's why, a handful of years ago, we saw an Atlanta Hawks team that came out of nowhere and was surprisingly good, shockingly good, and leading the East at the All-Star break, had four All-Stars. And when those All-Star names came out, a lot of us said, wait, really? Whether it be a name like Kyle Korver, or any of the others. Good team basketball, but I mean, are they all-stars? Really? Because none of them individually did what Zach LaVine has done this season. It just goes to show you how much players and coaches value winning. The fan vote is a popularity contest. That's essentially all it is. So it doesn't matter that Trae Young's Atlanta Hawks are one of the absolute bottom-of-the-barrel teams in the NBA. He's popular. He is a popular player who got voted all the way into being a starter. Zach LaVine's Bulls are not winning anything. And I think we all knew that that's what it would come down to. If Zach didn't get in, it would not be because of his own shortcomings as a player. Dude's averaging 25 points per game. I mean, pretty close. Pretty close to all-star territory, if not all-star territory. He's doing it for a bad team. So is Bradley Beal. So is Devin Booker. Want to take this opportunity to give a shout out to our friends at MyBookie. Are you the type of sports fan that knows your sports so well you could choose any game and call it? Well, MyBookie is the place for you because they let you turn all your sports knowledge into cash in your pockets. Between Super Bowl on deck this Sunday, the NBA, and now college basketball in full swing, it's time to get off the sideline and into the action with MyBookie. If you're the kind of guy who likes to bet a little to win a lot, try a parlay. For instance, if you like a couple of big favorites this week, parlays are perfect because they let you bet multiple games together for a much bigger payout. So if you're going to bet this season, if you're going to bet on the Super Bowl this weekend, do the smart thing and go to mybookie.ag because no one gives you more ways to win. Tired of watching the games from the couch with nothing to gain? MyBookie wants you to get your mind off everything else and back on the game. If you join right now, MyBookie will match your deposit halfway all the way up to $1,000. That means if you deposit $2,000, you get an extra $1,000 in free money to play with. Just use promo code LOCKEDONNBA to activate the offer. Once again, that's promo code LOCKEDONNBA to take advantage of MyBookie's generous sign-up offer. Visit MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. Now on to the next piece of disappointing news. No Coby White in the Rising Stars game. The rosters for the World Team and the U.S. Team also announced recently. Just to run through the rosters on the World Team, we have Brandon Clark of the Memphis Grizzlies, Nikhil Alexander-Walker for the Pelicans, Luka Doncic of the Mavericks, Sfi Mikhailuk of the Pistons, DeAndre Ayton from the Suns, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander for OKC, Josh Okogie of the Timberwolves, Mo Wagner from the Wizards, Rui Hachimura also from the Wizards, and RJ Barrett from the Knicks. Now, the U.S. team, Tyler Hero, Miami, Eric Pascal, Golden State, Miles Bridges, Charlotte, Jaren Jackson Jr., Memphis, P.J. Washington also from Charlotte, Zion Williamson, Pelicans, Ja Morant, Grizzlies, Wendell Carter Jr., Chicago Bulls, Devontae Graham, also Charlotte, Kendrick Nunn, Heat, Trae Young, Atlanta Hawks. So, Wendell Carter Jr. gets the nod as a second-year player in the Rising Stars game. The one piece that the Bulls currently have as a representative at the All-Star weekend that they are hosting. However, given that Wendell is on the shelf with his injury right now, he won't be playing. And there were reports that Zion Williamson has taken his spot as a injury alternate. And here's the thing. If you look at that roster for the U.S. team, has Coby White had the type of season that actually makes him more deserving than any of these guys? Because it's not so much about winning and losing as it is for All-Star, as I was just discussing, because guess what? Rising Stars are usually guys who are first and second year players who play a lot of minutes on bad teams because they're young, bad teams. The Charlotte Hornets are not very good this year. The Memphis Grizzlies started out rough, but have actually bounced themselves back and are in the hunt in the West. Golden State, obviously, their season has been turned upside down because of all of their injuries. They get a nod from Eric Pascal. But if you look at these players and what they've done for their teams, whether they're good teams or bad teams, can you honestly make an argument that Coby White is more deserving than any of them? What Kendrick Nunn and Tyler Hero are providing for a Miami team that is really, really good. A lot would say surprisingly good. I don't think people thought Miami would be this good. They're both big pieces of that team. Bridges, Graham, Washington, they are all slaying for Charlotte this season. Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr., probably the most exciting backcourt, frontcourt duo among young players in the NBA right now. For the Grizzlies, Trey, obviously. Zion, obviously. So, as much as Bulls fans were maybe hoping that, all right, well, if Zach doesn't get the All-Star team, hopefully we'll at least see Coby White get to play in the Rising Stars game. I didn't see it. Obviously, I wanted Coby to be in that game, and we'll see if there are any other opportunities for Coby to get into this game as an alternate, as an injury replacement, if any of these players opt not to play for whatever reason. But I don't think that you can make an argument based on performance, based on numbers, that Coby deserves unquestionably to be ahead of any of these guys. So maybe the league did not feel like, you know, doing the Bulls a favor and say, all right, well, we got to have the Bulls as the host teams, as the host city's team, have some kind of representation at All-Star Weekend. And who knows, we're still waiting to hear, after hearing about Aaron Gordon accepting the invitation to the dunk contest, which is now Gordon, Dwight Howard, and Derrick Jones Jr., if Zach might be that fourth player to participate. Give us, you know, Zach LaVine versus Aaron Gordon, the rematch. It would be amazing. Obviously, I think Bulls fans would all enjoy seeing that. We've also heard that Zach LaVine would be interested in doing the three-point contest. I think, you know, he thought it would be cool to be the first player to win both the three-point and the dunk contest. So maybe. But we also heard, in not so many words, but based on just kind of trying to read the tea leaves from Zach's comments a little bit, that he would probably be much more willing and open to the idea of doing the dunk contest and or the three-point contest if he made the All-Star team. And now we know that that is not happening. So, no Zach LaVine, no Coby White in the Rising Stars game. Wendell gets the nod for, you know, the at least, you know, promising season he was having before going down with this injury, but he's on the shelf with an injury, so he won't be playing. So we are now facing the reality, the very possible reality, that the Bulls, for the first time in what, like 30 some years, are hosting All-Star Weekend all of the NBA's biggest, brightest stars and the entire national media descending upon Chicago. And the Bulls got nothing. It's a sad sign of the times. It's a sad sign of what this season has been. It's a sad sign about the lack of respect that this league currently has for this once proud organization. More on that in a minute. To my fellow Chicagoans, I know that it feels like we haven't seen the sun in, I don't know, a couple of weeks. Well, there's a way to fix that. This spring, follow your favorite baseball team to Arizona for Cactus League spring training. Amazing weather and landscapes, exciting outdoor adventure, incredible food. Arizona is the perfect home base for baseball fans. Follow your favorite team to 10 different stadiums for 15 different Major League Baseball teams in 75-degree temperatures. All 10 of those stadiums are in the greater Phoenix area, within 50 miles of one another. You can meet the players and get their autographs before the games. But that's not all. Check out the amazing restaurants and bars nearby, including tons of craft breweries like Four Peaks, Angel's Trumpet Ale House, and Goldwater Brewing Company. Enjoy live music from local and national artists. Explore museums featuring everything from native heritage to modern art to musical instruments from around the world. Bringing the kids along to spring training, Arizona is a fantastic destination for families. Arizona has tons of stuff for kids to do and see, like wildlife parks, science museums, aquariums, and dude ranches. Plan your spring training getaway at visitarizona.com/springtraining. That's visitarizona.com/springtraining. So, the Bulls are hosting All-Star Weekend a week from tonight. The festivities kick off. And the Bulls will be sitting on the sidelines. As I said, you know, we're still waiting to hear if Zach is going to compete in the dunk contest or the three-point contest, but maybe right now Zach's feeling like, God, really? I didn't get that All-Star nod? Maybe he feels like he deserves it, and maybe he feels like he doesn't want to participate in the either of those skills challenge events on Saturday night because he feels snubbed. To hell with the dunk contest. To hell with the three-point contest. I feel like I deserve the All-Star nod. I didn't get it, so I'm not going to be, you know, a gimmick sideshow for All-Star weekend when I should be in the big game on Sunday. And as of right now, the Bulls won't have anyone in the Rising Stars game either. Derrick Rose did also not make the All-Star team. I know a lot of my fellow Bulls fans out there who are still big Rose fans were hoping that he might make the team despite being primarily a bench player for a very bad Pistons team this season. I wouldn't have had a problem with it. Personally, I don't think he deserved to be an All-Star. He's not putting up All-Star numbers. It's impressive what he's doing. He has recently started finding his way into that starting lineup for the Pistons, but for the majority of the first half of the season, he was a bench player, and he was very efficient with the minutes he had off the bench, as Kendall Gill, of course, tells me night in and night out. But, I mean, when you're talking about what is an All-Star player and what is not, Derrick Rose is not an All-Star player. Not this year. Doesn't mean I can't be happy for what he's done in this comeback of his, but he's not an All-Star. But for what it would have meant to the city of Chicago and what it would have meant for Derrick, I wouldn't have had a problem with it. It would have been exciting. But we do know that he's going to compete in the skills competition, so he'll be around. And I'm sure it will be a big, fun moment for everybody involved. But, I mean, the only real tie that now Bulls fans have is watching Jimmy Butler play in the All-Star game for the third different team that he's now playing for since leaving Chicago that sparked this rebuild that once had Bulls fans, at least some of us, feeling like the collective talent we got in that trade was setting us on an okay path. And that, you know, if we didn't feel overwhelmingly positive about, you know, quote unquote, winning that trade when we traded away Jimmy and started over, that at least we were okay with it. Halfway through year three of that rebuild, and I think a lot of Bulls fans are doubting that. And the league is, you know, the league is the league. The NBA is so entertaining every season. Countless storylines, fun teams to watch, doubleheaders on national television with the brightest stars in the game. And the Bulls are on the actual and metaphorical sideline, just watching. The host city of All-Star Weekend, and they got nothing. And you know, there were some people joking about this on Twitter as far as whether or not coaches around the league would give their votes for Zach LaVine, despite the fact that the Bulls have struggled just because of how impressive he's been this season. Well, maybe. There is a lack of respect for the Bulls right now. There's a lack of respect for the person in the head coach's chair of the Chicago Bulls right now, Jim Boylan, who has already managed to piss off damn near a third of the head coaches in the league, as he is now a little over one full year, spanning last season and this one, as his tenure as his first-time NBA head coach, for his Bush League handling of late-game situations, calling timeouts when he doesn't need to or when he shouldn't. Yeah, I mean, the tape's there. Jim Boylan has not, despite what we may know about his past, I used to work with Greg Popovich. Some great mutual respect there. Used to work with Rudy in the Houston Rockets. I mean, you know, Jim likes to mention his pedigree. He does it less so than when he first took over and people were questioning his credentials. But there doesn't seem to be a great respect for Jim Boylan around the league right now, and I can't fault other NBA head coaches for that lack of respect, because look at what this guy's doing. He looks like a dude way in over his head. He throws his players under the bus. He never takes accountability for losses himself like the good coaches of this league do. If Jim Boylan were making phone calls around the league advocating for his guy, Zach LaVine, to get votes from other coaches, how many of those coaches were willing to give Jim Boylan the time of fucking day? If Jim Boylan were advocating around the league for his young rookie Kobe White to make that selection to the Rising Stars game, who among those with votes sees Jim Boylan as a guy who deserves their time of day right now? And I'm not saying that that's the biggest reason or the only reason. I'm saying it could be a reason. And it's not just Jim. Again, it's the perception is reality problem that Jordan and I have talked about before. It's the perception that John Paxson vehemently denied the last time he was on 670 The Score, getting all upset, saying that interviews had begun to feel like interrogations. And maybe that's because radio hosts were asking difficult questions that the fan base wanted and deserved the answers to that John Paxson didn't have legitimate answers for. But the fact that nobody around the league right now, national media, players, coaches, executives, agents, nobody has respect for the Bulls because of the way they handle their business, because of the way they treat their players. And the most recent prime example, and there are many, whether it be Jimmy, Wade, Rondo, the three alphas here, Bobby Portis and Nico. I mean, you know, the example, Derrick Rose, the example, Joakim Noah, the examples go on and on. The way that they treat their own is so disrespectful. And this team's ownership and management are so quick to point the finger of blame at anyone but themselves, regardless how many times we have to hear John Paxson utter the word accountability while we all, you know, stifle our laughter, because we know there is none. The most recent example is Thad Young. This dude is one of the most well-respected and well-liked veterans across the NBA over the past 10-plus years. Pacers fans and everyone who worked within that organization hated to see him go because of how valued he was as a veteran who understood and appreciated everything about the league and did everything the right way. That kind of player with that kind of cred comes to the Bulls and says, I want to help you guys build your culture, build something, be a veteran leader for the young guys. And within 2 months of signing here as a free agent, he's having his agent make calls to try and get himself a trade out of here because of the way that the Bulls handle their business. What more do you need to know? That perception is still very much that reality. And until any of that changes, until this team cleans house and starts over with a fresh face, fresh faces, younger people, people with some credibility in this league, because you can be younger and have newer, interesting ideas while also still having some credibility that you've built for yourself. It's about more than getting snubbed as an all-star reserve. It's about more than getting snubbed as a selection for the Rising Stars game. If you're Coby White, it's about having the respect across the league that might actually someday draw the attention of the game's biggest stars that want to come play here. You know, there are other elements to it. Obviously, despite being a big market city, Chicago ain't New York, and it's not Southern California, and it's not Miami. It's not a warm weather city. So there's that aspect. There is the don't want to play in Jordan's shadow aspect, but hell, Jordan retired. Jordan played his last game for the Bulls in 1998. He's been gone for a while. Yes, he is still a legend of the game. He is still larger than life. And, you know, there's this talk recently in the wake of Kobe Bryant's passing that of all the players out there, Kobe may have been one of few or the only one who would not have been afraid to follow in MJ's footsteps playing for the Chicago Bulls organization, playing with, shout out Jim, Bulls across his chest. So, yes, that is another element to it. But to me, the biggest one, the one that's a problem that can be fixed, and it will take time to repair the damage that has been done to this team's national and global perception of, is this a respected and well-run organization? Because right now the answer is no. It'll take time to fix that, but it can be fixed. It can be repaired. You can't turn Chicago into a warm weather climate city all of a sudden to make it more desirable. You can't remove the daunting element of playing in MJ's shadow, playing in the house that MJ built. That will maybe fade a little bit, but never really go away. The thing that you can fix is the fact that nobody in this league has respect for this team right now because of the people running it and the way that they treat the people that work for them. Look no further than Thad Young. So that's a bigger problem than not having anyone at All-Star Weekend, but it will be the glaringly obvious and the glaringly sad thing about All-Star Weekend in Chicago. No Chicago Bulls. No representatives. The team somewhere around 10 or 12 games under 500 at the All-Star break. No All-Stars, no Rising Stars. Nothing. Sad reality. But hey, the Bulls can chip away at that Brooklyn Nets hold on the 8th seed if they get a win tonight. So, yippee-ki-yay. That's all for today. Have a great weekend, everybody. Enjoy the Super Bowl on Sunday. It'll be a nice distraction. Oh, wait, I forgot. The Bulls have a 2 p.m. matinee tip-off on Super Bowl Sunday. God forbid we get a Super Bowl Sunday to just enjoy the Super Bowl and not have to think about our dilapidated Bulls that have no respect league-wide. No, we got to watch the Bulls. Well, you don't have to. I have to. If you don't watch the Bulls on Super Bowl Sunday leading up to Super Bowl kickoff, I won't blame you. But we'll be there, and we will be doing an Outsiders episode, as we will, of course, following post-game live after Bulls and Nets tonight. So I will see you there. Enjoy your weekend. Maybe we'll talk to you on Monday. For Jordan Malley, my co-host Matt Peck, saying thanks as always for listening, Bulls Nation. Until next time, see you red. Be good. Peace out.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com